chains were fast and tight down at the jail that night. Still Paul and Silas would not be dismayed. They said it's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord. Let's prove that we will trust Him, come what may.
God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. He loves to hear our praise on our cheerful days, when the pleasant times outweigh the bad by far. But when suffering comes along and we still sing Him songs, that is when we bless our Father's heart. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts around you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. That's when God wants to hear you sing.
Yeah, thank you, folks. I appreciate that. God bless you. Good. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Thank you, Logan, Natalie. That couple puts a smile on my face. Amen. And those little girls do especially. Amen. Growing up, changing already. Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to look at two of the most familiar verses in all of your Bible tonight. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And if you found your place and you're able to stand, let's do that together. Join me in honor of God's Word. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I want to speak tonight on the subject, making a decision biblically. Making a decision biblically. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to be in your place on Sunday evening. Thank you for these folks. I pray, Lord, that you'd please, Lord, honor us with your presence during this time. Speak to our hearts. We don't need to hear from man. We need to hear from your book. And I pray your spirit will take the truths of this book and enlighten our eyes and, Lord, remind us of truths we've already heard before. And help us to move forward at this time in our church life. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Excuse me, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, as I said, these are two of the most familiar verses in the book of Proverbs and basically in the entire Bible. The instruction is simple yet life-changing. Trust God completely. Don't lean on yourself. Acknowledge Him, and God will direct your path. This simple four-step process applies to all areas of our life, and it applies to any decision I need to make, and that includes how much should I give for missions this coming year. So I am just going to talk about that a little bit tonight. You know, I appreciate, as I said earlier, I want to thank you. The crowds were tremendous in the morning and the evening services. And so many of you said to me personally, what a challenge to my heart. I thought, brother, if you missed it, Tuesday night's message to me was the message that really just, boy, wow, that was tremendous. I never thought about the fact that Satan has a plan of evangelization for this world. It's another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. I never really thought about it in that light. But that's why we have to get the true Jesus and the right spirit and the true gospel to people. And thank you for your involvement. Thank you for the giving. It was very, very, it was very generous. So many of you were involved in different ways, and I just appreciate it. Now, I'm sure this is true. And there are people in the church who probably didn't even know we had missions conference going on, forgot about it, and maybe others didn't forget about it, but it's not serious enough, not major enough for them to participate in any way, shape, or form. So it makes you really thankful for those who get it, all right, who get it. And I appreciate your participation. The conference was not just about money. In fact, there was really very little said about money in the conference, okay? Now, that kind of goes with it. In the end, that's why the families came, those four families. They need support, and they've moved on to the next church in hopes of, you know, continuing to raise their money and their funds for their work wherever they may be going. But I just want to wrap the conference tonight with a challenge to you and me to make the right decision about our involvement in giving. Now, let me say this right now. Everyone is called to send the gospel of Christ to the world. And I used to say this. I used to say, you know, some are called to go and others are called to give. But the truth is, everyone is called to go and everyone is called to give. Do you know that those who feel the call to go, they go to some distant land, they still give personally to missions, to their home church. They're involved in that. And then those who are not called to go to distant places are called to go close to home. And I was so blessed yesterday morning by the turnout. And, yeah, it was tremendous. And some of God's people, you know, they don't take any part of the calling to heart. None of it. They neither go nor give. And, you know, folks, I mean, if you're not going to go, at least if you're taking up a seat here, at least put something into play towards it. If you're not going to go, you know, if you're not involved in some way, you know what? You're just wearing out fabric on the pew. That's what some of you do. You wear out fabric on the pew. And, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you, there was a visitor walked in this morning as the opening song was on, and out where the ushers were, they were busy with something, and nobody moved to help that guy find a seat. I'm up here on the platform about having a cow, thinking, why doesn't somebody say to him, hey, can I help you find a seat? Amen. Nope, we're wearing out the fabric on the pew instead. Folks, if this is only about us, we might as well shutter the doors now, because it ain't going to last long. When it becomes just about us and what we can enjoy and what we can hear and what we can do. And when it becomes about us, let's shutter the doors. You know, that lady, that one of the ladies in our church saw that visitor. Chico, you fit the profile. She told Tracy, I think you said it earlier, it was some Spanish man. So you fit the profile. You think maybe it wasn't you, but you're it, brother. I'm telling you. Did anybody else eat at Denny's this week? Now, that tells you something. Brother Dave, you ate over there, but you don't look very Spanish. Amen. Okay. And so, all right. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for leaving an invitation like that. And when this thing becomes about just us and what we can do, you know, thank God, you know, that Tracy invited the lady to sit with her, because it's not just about us. Hello. Amen. Well, I'm not an usher. Well, you're called, okay? Guess what? You've just been anointed an usher. If you can help somebody find a seat who's looking for a seat, a visitor, mean, the guy was looking around, you know what, I felt so sad, I just wanted, I don't have a lot of, I got some memories about church as a little boy when I was not plugged in, not saved, and our pastor that was there, his name was Paul Van Gorder, I never once really saw him. He was more of a Bible teacher and an excellent Bible teacher, but I never once really saw him get emotionally involved in something until, I don't know what I was doing. I was down at the front, probably rearranging the stuff on the Lord's Supper table like these kids do here, you know. I was down at the front, and it was the close of a service, morning or evening, I forget, and all of a sudden I heard this, and he smacked the pulpit with his hand. And he said to somebody, somebody help that visitor. Nobody said a word to them all morning. And boy, he got upset about it. And I almost wanted to come off the platform this morning and say to this man, I went by his house yesterday, he wasn't home. It's his second time here. He was here last week. And he came back. He's a student at Olivet. And somebody needs to befriend that guy. I can't befriend him. I'm up here. And folks, when this thing gets, when all we're doing is wearing out the fabric in the pew, we're in trouble. We're in trouble, okay? And many people aren't just doing that. Most people are involved, but some of you are just taking up a seat, and that's all you're doing, okay? Now, obviously, God has given us a group of people here who take this matter of missions to heart. And the time has come to make a commitment concerning these next 52 weeks. What are we going to do? What does God want me to give? How does he want me to participate? And, folks, this is not a time to worry or fret about this decision. Can I tell you something tonight? God has a will for each one of us that will enable our church to fulfill our obligation to lost people in distant places. This is not some random thing with God. Hey, whatever you want to do down there is fine with me. Do you think that for a minute? I don't believe that for a minute. I believe God has a will for us. And this is not a time for pressure. It's a time for prayer. It's not a time for angst. It's time for making a decision, and there should be something in our heart that wants to get it right. And the simple process outlined in these verses works at a time like this. You say, well, this is not a missions-minded passage. It doesn't have to be a missions-minded passage to lay out principles for making decisions. Does it? Because it applies across the board. And the outline is found right there in the two verses. Number one, what are we going to do right now to make this decision? Number one, trust God completely. Trust God completely. Look at the word in verse number 5, the word heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The word heart in this verse is a reference to the core of our person. It's a word that sometimes is used as a synonym for heart in the Bible is the word soul. Trust in the Lord with all your thoughts, with your emotions, and with your will. What you think about and how you feel and the choices you make. Yield it all to God. Yield it all to Him. And here's why, folks, we can fully trust Him to lead us properly. You know, this means we should give Him our thoughts, we should give Him our emotions, we should give Him our will. We should not yield our thoughts to the news media right now. You know, a lot of people did that during COVID. It took us about 4 weeks to realize, you know what? There's a virus out there, but this has gone too far. We shouldn't yield our minds, our thoughts to the prognosticator. We should not yield our thoughts to the statistics that fill the airwaves about the economy. If we do that, our thoughts influence our emotions. Our emotions influence our choices. And if our thoughts are gripped in the fear that the news media creates, then our emotions and our choices will be gripped by fear as well. Because it already starts right here, which is part of your heart. Not that muscle that pumps blood through your body, but that core person, where you think, how you feel, and what you choose to do. And people, look, God is not a hard taskmaster. You're not turning this over to me. I'm as imperfect as anybody else. You turn it over to God. There is no living, breathing man that you can turn a decision like this over to, but there is a living, breathing God that you can trust completely in this area. So turn it over to Him. He's loving. He's caring. He's kind. He's gracious and merciful. And He's not going to lead anybody here to make themselves completely without to support missions. He's also just. He's a just God, which means this. He won't let us off the hook when it comes to our responsibility to obey Him in this area. He has a will for our lives in this matter, and we need to trust Him completely in making this decision. I mean completely, you know, and I've done this. I've been guilty of, I was guilty of this. The worst time I was ever guilty of it was when I was, you know, going to leave Marion Avenue and move on to the next place that I knew God wanted me to go somewhere. But I made finding God's will harder than it needs to be. Folks, God's not a prankster. And He's not a trickster. And He doesn't play catch me if you can. Now you see me, now you don't. No, He doesn't play games like that. We need to simply trust Him, kind of like we did when we called on Him to save us. Did we not just trust Him fully for that? If we didn't, then you're not born again. You trusted Him fully or you didn't trust Him at all. Those who trust Him wholly, find Him wholly true. Isn't it interesting that we can trust God completely with our eternal destiny, and yet when it comes to a decision about how much to give, we start backing up in our faith in Him? Maybe it's because we don't really want to know what He wants us to do. We're afraid to find out. But honestly, people, if we can trust Him with our eternal destiny to keep us out of the fires of hell, I think you and I can trust Him with how much to commit to give to missions in the next 52 weeks. Trust Him. Do you remember as a little kid, maybe your dad, you were on the kitchen, put you on the kitchen counter, maybe on the island, and stood there and said, jump, jump. Any of you ever jump off the counter into your dad's arms? You know what I'm talking about, jump. Did anybody ever have a dad say, hey, come on, jump? I don't think that ever happened. Nobody's dad treated them like that. And you know, if dads with an evil, Adamic, fallen sin nature know how to take care of our kids when they jump into our arms, how much more will our Heavenly Father know how to take care of us when we jump into His arms? Trust Him completely. Trust Him completely. Trust Him completely. Trust Him fully in this matter. Just simply jump into His arms. That's the first point. Trust God completely. It's not the time to white knuckle and fret about trust God completely. Amen. Completely. Number two, don't lean on yourself. Don't lean on yourself. That's right there in verse number 5. Leaning on ourselves as dangerous, even as saved people, folks. Do you understand that we are still tainted by our sin nature? You understand that your thought life is still tainted by your sin nature. Come on now, men. You know that's true. You have to work to keep your mind clean and keep it right. And that's true about everybody, not just men. That's true about male, female, across the board. Just because we're saved, our thoughts haven't escaped the tainted sin nature that sometimes corrupts our thinking. We can get ourselves into trouble very quickly when we lean on ourselves. You know what's dangerous about that, folks? Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 and chapter 16 verse 25 say this. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. It seems right. He doesn't think to himself, this is the wrong way and I'm taking it. No, this seems right. But you know from that verse that man can think that something seems right and be what? Entirely wrong. The end thereof are the ways of death. So to lean on myself is very, very foolish. By the way, the same principle is taught in the book of Judges. You read there in the book of Judges two or three times in the entire book. The Bible says again and again, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man didn't do that which he thought was wrong. Every man did that which he thought was right. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, it was hideous. It was evil, it was wicked, it was wrong, but in man's eyes, it seemed right to him. They thought they were right. So you know what that means? That means I better be careful about leaning on myself. The worst thing you can do at decision time, and it's more than just any, I'm talking about any decision, but the worst thing you can do at decision time for what I'm going to give to missions is completely, you know, look completely within yourself for the answer. That's not wise. And that's not just my opinion. Do you remember what Jesus told when he spoke about the parable in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 7? And he talked about that man and he said, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Isn't that what we're doing right now? Asking, what shall I do? But who are we asking? Are we asking him? Or are we looking within? And he was looking within. The Bible, Jesus said, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? And at the end of that story, Jesus called him a fool. He said, thou fool. Now you carry that through. You carry this thought through, folks. For any decision that involves any kind of spirituality whatsoever, for us to look within ourselves, to come to that conclusion, to solidify that decision, is completely foolish. What he thought within himself was totally off base. And you and I can be caught up in the same thing. Don't leave the decision about obeying God concerning this matter of sending the gospel to the world to your sin-tainted nature. Don't leave it to your sin-tainted nature. Oswald J. Smith, he pastored the pulpit, the People's Church up in Toronto, Canada. And really, he is credited as being one of the father of faith promise giving. He really promoted the faith promise giving principles from the Bible. And he was adamant. They had a great missions church up there. And he said this. He said, and I'm quoting, if God wills the evangelization of the world and you refuse to support missions, then you are opposed to the will of God. Well, that wouldn't be very smart. I don't want to live my life opposed to the will of God. So I've got to find the will of God out. You know, look, now look. Maybe because of what's happened in the past with bad decisions financially. Maybe poor management of finances. Maybe you're absolutely strapped. And by the way, there are more people living like that in this country than you can shake a stick at. Okay? You cannot undo what has been done. But you don't just throw in the towel and say, oh, too bad. You can still make a decision that pleases God. What kind of decision would that be? That would be to start immediately to obey biblical principles and dig out of your situation and ask God to help you so that next year you'll be in a position to give. Or maybe even 6 months. God helps you get out of that situation. Not so you can pad your pocket, but so that you can have something to give to missions. Don't lean on yourself. Self will lead you to do nothing, and it would be foolish to lean on selfish flesh to make an unselfish decision. Leaning on myself means I am not leaning on God completely. Not leaning on Him completely. So trust God completely. And do not lean on yourself. That's what the scripture said. It's just right there. The outline is right in the verses. Number three is in verse number six. Acknowledge God in this decision. It says in verse six, in all thy ways. That would include what we're talking about right now. In all thy ways. Acknowledge God in this decision. We say, Pastor, you know, we've already talked about this. Is trust in the Lord. No, this is more specific than trusting God. Watch it. Trusting Him is the general attitude that we need to have because we believe Him to be right and good in everything in every way. Do you know when somebody is right and good, It's easy to trust them. Who do you know that is completely right and completely good on this planet? None. But God is. And because he's completely right and completely good, I can trust him to lead me to make the right decision. I can trust his will for my entire life in all my ways. Okay? Including this decision. But wait a minute. To acknowledge him, the word means to notice with particular regard. So to approach a missions commitment just based on what I have always done is not acknowledging God with particular regard. Amen. To commit on what I feel like I can handle is not acknowledging God with particular regard. To do what I want to do is not acknowledging God with particular regard. Acknowledging God is making a decision, noticing with particular regard what God wants concerning this specific decision. God, what do you want when it comes to me dropping something in the plate so that the Chacones and the Dices and the Georges and the Hectors can go to these places with the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's particular regard. This is not just generic. It's not just open-ended. It's not just random. This is particular regard. God, I am trusting you, and I don't want to lean on myself, and I need help for this particular decision. It's asking him what he wants, basing my decision on the principles of his revealed word, acknowledging God. Guess who acknowledging God begins with, folks? It begins with God. It begins with God. And it's in particular regard. Don't answer out loud. Have you even given any thought to this? It's how God wants, it's acknowledging him is, Lord, I've got to make a decision here that is in particular regard to giving to missions. I need your help. In the 1930s, I've given this story before, but I'm not going to go into the long story tonight. It's long. It's a pretty good story. But there was a Nazarene man named J.G. Morrison. He was involved in missions. He was a missionary. And he was commissioned by the Nazarene denomination to go and raise money for missionaries, for works on the mission field. And so he would go from church to church to church. And it was in the 1930s. What a time to be commissioned to go raise money. And so it got the Great Depression. That just, you know, all that happened. And he's got to go to these Nazarene churches. And he's been commissioned with the task of raising more money for missions. And everywhere he went, J.G. Morrison just asked the simple question, can you do a little bit more? Can you do a little bit more? And the Nazarene church, the Nazarene denomination, their missions giving went up that year. In the midst of the Great Depression, on the heels of the Great Depression, their missions giving went up because that man went from church to church just asking, can you do a little bit more? Can you do a little bit more? For some people, that's a dollar or two a week. You've never been involved in it. You can get in for a dollar or two a week. You know what a dollar or two a week might be? For some people, it might be seed money to eventually set you free financially. Seed money. And that's not the purpose for doing it, but that may be how God uses it. So you got to acknowledge God in this decision. You know, ask yourself questions. Can I do with one less trip to a restaurant? Can maybe one less time through the window at Culver's? Or Wendy's? Or Chick-fil-A? I was visiting yesterday. I visited that couple that was here this morning that came. Dan, did you get your card? Good. So they came, and when I came into town, I came in Armour Road out here. Did anybody go? Come on now. Did anybody go to Chick-fil-A yesterday? Brianna. Oh, Mary. Okay, a few people did. Dave, the cars were backed up. How long was the wait? 50-5-0. Was backed up. I'm glad for them. There was no wait today. No wait today. And the people who went to Chick-fil-A and found it closed, run over to Hobby Lobby to pick up something, they didn't have much luck either. Amen. Thank God for those companies. I haven't been to Chick-fil-A yet. I'm not going to wait 50 minutes for a chicken sandwich. Although it's pretty good. I'd wait that long for a hot dog from the Varsity, though, I will tell you that. You know, one less trip through the drive-thru. What are you dropping at the drive-thru right now? I know. But where is my wife over here tonight? What was it? Conference ended here Wednesday night, and we picked Brother Johnson up at 5:30 Thursday morning, dropped him off at O'Hare on our way to the college, taught, and then jumped in the truck at 11 and drove to Brother Castle's for the Thursday and Friday night meeting down there. And I wanted to come home Friday night because you gain an hour. It's only about a 3.5-hour drive, and I wanted to be here for Saturday morning. It was a special Sunday, and I wanted to be involved in that. And so, but man, one thing that COVID has done, everything closes early. And there was nothing. There's a Chick-fil-A. We were hoping to make it in Terre Haute, but we missed it by about 2 minutes. So we had to go to McDonald's. Yep. And was buy one, get one for a dollar. Man, you can't beat that. So I bought 10. No, I didn't. All right. So, but that's the cheapest we've done. I mean, I don't go through that often, but I'm telling you, well, the other day we pulled through somewhere. It was like 25. Oh, I know. It was when we left. We pulled through the Culver's up there. We didn't want to wait for it. So we pulled through Culver's. It was $25. I'm hammering on Culver's. Poor Miles over here. It was $25. And that's not just about Culver's. That's everywhere. So one less trip through a drive-thru, I save $25. Guess what I can do with that money? I'm just saying, folks, look. Start with a figure, but be willing to refigure your figure to God's figure. That's acknowledging Him. In regards to this particular decision. So it's not just some, you know, random generic, we trust God, living by faith. No. Acknowledging God is, okay, I've got a very specific decision to make right now, and I want to make it according to your will, oh God. That's acknowledging Him. And then number four is the promise, the last of verse number six, God will direct your path. If I do the first three, if I trust God completely, don't lean on myself, and acknowledge God in particular regard to this matter, then guess what God said He would do? He'd lead me. We're not going to do all three of those and He just stand there and say, ha, ha, ha. No, He will answer us. He will lead us. God does not need you and me to be this strong-minded. God needs to show Himself strong through us. That's what He wants to do. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, talking about Asa, the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong. Listen, in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Perfect doesn't mean sinless. Perfect means complete. It means full, fully. God wants a person through whom He can show His strength. And that's the person who leans completely and fully upon Him. Trusting, not leaning on self, and acknowledging Him. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, he said this, God is not looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow Him. God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on Him. Are you and I that feeble? Can we be that weak? Now you think about it. Let that run through your mind a little bit. Can we be that feeble and weak that we just lean completely on Him? And this works across the board. For every decision. It's not a time of pressure. It's a time of prayer. I'll close with that. I gave you this before. I know I've mentioned this. But when they had that military coup in Madagascar, and Ben and Ashley had just landed there and had the two girls, and we've talked about that before. But you might remember this. All the stores were closed, which meant no bottled water, no bottled gas. That's how they heat their house. That's how they cook their food, bottled gas. Okay, water heater, bottled gas. So there's no, the stores are closed. And they got wind that a grocery store nearby was going to open for just a specific time period, just a couple of hours. And they were going to open their doors. And so he prayed. He said, God, I need you to help me. You got two little girls. They needed drinking water. They needed bottled gas. And so the day came, and he wanted to get there early, and he goes to the store, and there's a big fence around. Joyce and I were there, and had been there. Big fence around the property, around the parking lot. And here was this humongous crowd at this gate. And so he's got there, you know. And he looked across the way, and there was another gate, and one person was standing at that gate. I remember him telling this story. He said, Dad, it was like not an audible voice, but a voice impressed upon my heart. Go to that gate. And so he did. So now there's two people. And when the appointed time came for that store to open, the people opening the store walked out of the store and walked directly to that gate and let two people in. Before they ever went to the other gate, he got in there, got two or three carts. He had two or three carts full of bottled water and bottled gas before the other folks at the other gate ever got in the store. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God who can be trusted fully, completely, and don't lean on ourselves. And acknowledge him with particular regard about a specific matter. And his promise, just like the promise, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just like that promise is true. If I trust him completely and don't lean on myself and acknowledge him with particular regard to a specific decision, I will direct you. I will direct your path. That's how you make a decision biblically. I haven't said a word about the internet, because we don't need the internet to make a decision biblically. All we need is a Bible principle and Bible truth. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. It's not a time of pressure. It's a time of prayer. It's not a time of angst and hand-wringing. It's a time of trusting God completely. And not leaning on ourselves, acknowledging him in this particular area, and watching God do what he said he would do. Father, bless our invitation. Thank you for the missions conference. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you, God, for working in the messages, the songs, the testimonies, the videos, the preaching. Lord, it was wonderful. Now it's time for us to do what you want us to do. Lead, guide, and direct us as we trust you. And acknowledge you in this area in Christ's name. The altar is open. The music begins to play if you need to step out tonight. And in any one of these points that we gave tonight, trust God completely. Don't lean on yourself. Acknowledge him in particular regard to this decision. If you've not done that yet, my gracious, we're behind the time. It's time, knowing the time, it's time to do that. Find the will of God. Find the will of God for you in this all-important matter of sending the gospel to the world. And in particular, these places where these missionary families are going. What would God have you do? You follow these principles, and he's promised, I will direct you. I'll lead you. I will direct your path and your steps in this area. I won't leave you alone. And that's exactly what we need. That's exactly what we want. We want his leading. His leading.